Very good. Warm welcome back. 24 minutes to 11 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Morning Review. Applications for the Unemployment Insurance Fund's COVID-19 Temporary Employee Relief Scheme, otherwise known as TERS, that reopened this week. Those who qualify for the payments include those who work at venues hosting auctions, professional sports events, venues hosting social events, concerts, live performances, hospitality, liquor industry, essentially the industries that have not been able to work, create and generate an income during this level four of lockdown, our third wave. And many people have been asking us and coming to us with questions about what about this program? Can we apply for previous dates for previous lost income? So Makosonke Buthelezi, Director of Communication for the Unemployment Insurance Fund. We're all working from home. Makosonke, thanks so much for joining us here on the Morning Review.
Good morning, Lester, and good morning to your listeners. I'm glad to be on your show.
Thank you so much for coming on. Look, Thea, I know you can't answer people's specific questions. I'm going to try and make it as broad as possible, Makosonke. But who qualifies for this latest round of TERS payments that just last week was agreed upon by Cabinet?
So, thanks, Lester. It's largely the sector that still are unable to operate, go back to 100% operations. And some of them have already mentioned, but I will just mention others broadly. The liquor industry, aviation, we know restaurants and hotels, places like casinos and events, sporting events, options that you mentioned, people in those venues. So there's about 24 sectors that are listed on the directive. So those are the sectors that qualify. And specifically now, it has to be employees whose companies are registered with the UIF, one. Two, they must have been declared to the UIF. Three, they must have been contributing to the UIF.
Yeah. What is different about this particular process is that recipients or beneficiaries will get their money paid directly into their bank accounts. Why the move from employees or employers rather and directly into the bank accounts of workers?
It's because of the lessons learned, Lester. We've had huge problems with the previous payments, where if we pay the money to directly to the employers, people even now are still complaining that we still haven't received money, our TERS benefits. Others said, oh, I received less than what I could see on the TERS portal. Mm. So hence we decided this time around we need to pay directly into the employee's account, and that is why we really urge the employers to really work with us here by providing accurate account details of the employees. And we do not want the situation that we are faced with where we have many complaints of employees who are complaining about their employers withholding the monies.
Job, there are plenty of people who have come to us and said, look, we've been retrenched early in the year already. We've been trying to reach the Department of Labor on a regular basis, knowing when we're going to get our unemployment insurance fund benefits. What is the backlog there of people who have been contributing for up to decades in unemployment insurance but have still not been able to receive their payouts?
Are you referring to the TERS or the normal?
I'm referring to, in this case, UIF. This is one of the questions I'll try to keep as broad as possible, because I know as a person in communications, you can't access people's specific reference and details. So broadly, is there a bottleneck still when it comes to UIF payments?
I would acknowledge that there is a bottleneck. And what is the cause? One, it's because not our full staff complement is working, in the offices. That is the first thing. And we've been having sporadic or intermittent closure of offices due to COVID cases. And obviously, those who go to the labor centers, we are unable to service all of them because we have to take X number of people at a particular time or hour. Those have been the problems. And this happens against a huge number of people who have been retrenched, who all want to come and apply. And that has also been experienced on our online systems. We have had a huge number of people applying on the online systems. And we are extremely, extremely overwhelmed. And the fact that not everybody can come and work, we rotate staff, that becomes a problem. Today, clients see Makosonke, they submit, and when they do a follow-up, 2 days after, Makosonke is not there because we are rotating staff. So those have been, the whole COVID-19 pandemic has really thrown everyone off balance, and we have also been the victims of that. However, what we did not leave the situation as it is. What we are doing, we try as far as we possibly can to go, if we are aware that such a company is going to have massive retrenchments, we've come up with a better system where we send them a spreadsheet. They just populate the spreadsheet so that we avoid thousands of people coming to the labor centers. They populate the spreadsheet, send it to us. We just cross-check the spreadsheet against our rules. If everything is fine, we proceed and pay. And in some instances, where people who have been getting the benefits are required to come and sign. So we say to those people, don't come. We'll send you an SMS. You just confirm that you are still unemployed and, yes, everything is still the same, and then we process the payment. Is it effective? No, it is not effective as much as we would want to. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having all these complaints. But
yeah, I wonder, is the department noting the operational restraints and the workers who are managing these situations are you know, they're human as well. They're also susceptible to the limitations at this time period places on us. But is there cognizance, Makosonke, that someone who hasn't received an income, you know, from the beginning of the year, it only takes 1, 2, 3 months time before a landlord or a bank comes knocking on the door saying, you know what, I don't care if you're waiting still for a payout or for money, you still owe us money. Is there cognizance from the Department of Labor?
Yeah, definitely. We are aware of the situations that everybody who's waiting for UIF money is in. And even before the COVID, we always aware of that. Hence, we're coming up with these alternatives of sending spreadsheets. And it's a pity now we can't even go, because we used to also go to malls so that we can assist people, go to the people and assist them. We even have mobile passes that goes to the community to assist them. But due to all these restrictions, we can't do that, because it is precisely because of that, so that we can be able to assist people on the ground, and we are able to clear some of these outstanding payments. We know that even before COVID, you would still have, if a person applies and you still have problems where there are gaps in their applications, and that we still experience now. But the fact that now there's COVID, going back to the client and saying, go to your employer and this is what you want, it becomes a bit of a difficulty since everybody is not there to assist. Yeah. But we are trying our best,
Marcus, given the circumstances. I want to bring on Linda on the line. You say you have more of a comment than a question. Linda, good morning.
Hello there. Hello, Makosonke. I've been trying to register. My mum's domestic. She was employed by somebody else. She's now working for my mum. And we're trying to get her on the system. I've been into Somerset West. We filled in all the forms. The people who were employing her haven't deregistered her. I have been in queues for 6 hours. I've taken my 90-year-old mom, who's on oxygen, in three times. We just cannot get the lady in charge there to deal with it. We've sent all the documents. They promised to come back to us. But we don't know. We've not paid UIF for about 9 months on this lady because we cannot get any comeback from the Somerset West office. They just do not deal with us. We've couriered documents. We've emailed documents. I can give you the lady's name, but she does never, ever comes back to us.
Linda, thanks so much. Marcus Onke?
Yeah, no, let's get the details, get the producer to get Linda's details, and then we can follow up with the Somerset West office.
Because only 21,000 domestic workers have been paid UIF in the last year. This is because many of them haven't been registered. When we spoke about this last week, it's people who say because they simply weren't able or allowed, or there was no capacity from the Department of Labor side to register the domestic workers, Marcus Onke?
Yeah, I think there are many Lindas out there who experience the same thing. And like I said, it's because of all these constraints that we are experiencing. So, yeah, I wouldn't deny that, yes.
Some questions and broad comments here, and many people still wanting to know that October 2020 to December 2020 period, are they still able to apply for that TERS period? And what about money that has been paid over to companies, but because so many companies have closed, Marcus Onke, it is in fact being liquidated, that money is then frozen. How do people then contact the Department of Labor to try and get the money that has been released, but it's all wrapped up in the frozen assets of a liquidated company?
Yeah, once you get to the liquidation space, it becomes a bit of a problem because it means that process with the liquidators will have to take its course. And as you know, the process of liquidation, they have to pay people that they owe, and they have to, before they can release all those funds. Unfortunately, we in that case are treated as people that the company owes. And
so the staff is treated then as a creditor.
Exactly. So we all fall in that. So it's a process that we can't even intervene as the UIF. It's an internal company process. But in cases where, and there are cases where the company just, we pay the TERS, tomorrow they decide we are shutting down, and they just disappear into thin air. We do have investigators who follow up on such cases because trace those companies, and so that we can't just let that money go. And it's the money that belongs to the employees. Yeah. So we do have investigators who follow up and try to get hold of those companies so that we can get our money back.
Just running off, just scanning the WhatsApps, and literally dozens over the last just 5 minutes, Marcus Onke, and people saying, what about May 2020? What about September 2020? I've been waiting since June 2020 for payments. Just how big is this backlog?
So
is this an operational backlog, or is this a budgetary backlog?
No, definitely not a budgetary backlog. Definitely. They can rest assured, people out there, we don't have a problem with the budget. It's an administrative problem. And I'll just mention a few things. One, people are not being paid. If somebody says I've been waiting since June, it means they were paid before. That is the first thing. So why are they waiting? It could be, first, it's the banking details. They failed verification, even though we paid before. But because there was an auditor general that poked some holes on our system and we tightened up the system. So it could be banking details. They failed verification. If I tell you now, I think there's about close to 10,000 companies that we are still waiting for them to come back to us and confirm their banking details. So you can imagine how many employees are behind those 10,000 companies. That's the first thing.
Give us a ballpark here. How many people are still waiting for payments, Marcus Onke?
I think it will
help people if you give them a ballpark, just to know. And I think a lot of the issues around this is communication. And of course, people are desperately waiting. But if they understand, okay, there's 5,000, 10,000, 120,000 people who all are in the collective boat, that maybe it makes it a bit understandable. I know it's not understandable, but it gives them a sense.
Okay, I can give you the number. I've mentioned the 10,000 failed bank verification. It's the companies, not the people. Mm-hmm. I don't have the figures of the people behind the companies. But what I know, we had about close to 400,000 people who are still waiting, whom we are waiting for their companies to declare. Mm. Those people have not been declared to us. We are still waiting for the companies to compare. So it's 400 to 500,000. So it's a huge number of people. I don't have the statistics. Where we're still waiting information from the employers to come and verify to us, so that we can be able to process the payment. But this is what I want to mention, which is very important. If you are already in the system and we are waiting for some details, be it bank verification or any outstanding information that will enable us to process the claim. When we get that information, we will process the claim. It doesn't mean that if you've been waiting since June, that's it. As long as the employer or the applicant provides the information, we rerun the system and we process the claim. You asked about, a payment period between October, just now, the recent payment iteration. Oh, yes, you wanted to know when do we close, from 16 October last year to 31 December. For that period, we haven't got the closing date. So people can still apply since we haven't got the closing date. The sectors, the relevant sectors that we've been opening, that we have opened the system for phase three of this test payment, because now we are on phase four.
Look, this is an honest question here by Dani, and I think it's a valid question because people are frustrated. Their lives and livelihoods on the line. Please ask your guests if anybody has been fired for administrative incompetence. Yes, we can also talk about operational battles with limited staff and also the impact on them. But what is being done to rectify this matter, Mako Sonke?
Well, if you're talking about TERS, I believe we have the best system ever. If you're talking about the TERS online system, otherwise we wouldn't have been able to pay 5.4 million people, more than 60 billion, where we had never had a system to do that, where we had never had a budget to do that within this short space of time. If you're talking about TERS, we have the best system ever. It's online. And as long as the information is correct and accurate, we are able to process the payment. When we're talking about labor centers, it's all what I've already, the constraints that I've already mentioned in terms of staffing, in terms of the systems being overwhelmed, and all the interventions that I have mentioned to try to ameliorate the situation.
So just my last few questions here, and I'm trying to summarize and be general with so many people's questions here. TERS and UIF is separate. They're two different applications. They're two different processes. Is the lack or the delay in paying UIF connected to the delay that many people say they're experiencing with TERS, Mako Sonke, or are they completely different processes?
These are completely different processes, completely different business rules. But this is what I want to mention, where there could be a link. If say, for example, you've applied for a maternity, or let me just say you've been getting TERS, right? And then along the way, you get retrenched. Now you apply for unemployment benefit. On the system, it will reflect if your employer did not inform us that, no, now this person is unemployed, and it still reflects as a person getting TERS. We won't be able to get the unemployment benefit until the employer informs us through a letter, that or through UI-19 that this person is now retrenched, and then we can then open the system, or we can allow you to apply for the unemployment benefit or the maternity benefit, because you can't double dip. You can't get TERS and at the same time benefit, get the unemployment benefit. Yeah. But these are two separate, completely different benefits, and the systems are different.
Peter Nortuk, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm fine, Lester. Thank you. I've got a different problem. By an admin error last year, I stopped paying UIF for my staff and me. And but when I discovered this at the end of the year, I wanted to start paying again, making contributions. I've been unable to do this. They've blocked me on U-Filing from December, so I was unable to. This year, I've been trying over and over to contact them to say, I want to start paying. What can I do? I even enlisted the help of a lawyer. She has tried for 4 months and has just can't get through. Is there someone specific I could email just to give all my details so I could get going on the system again? I've saved up the money, which I should have paid. It's all ready to be paid.
And that's a case of a business owner wanting to be compliant. Makosonke, can we also maybe get details that we can pass on to Peter? And I know you don't. I don't want to frustrate you with the inbox full, but people are patiently and have patiently been waiting. If people need to contact someone through the helpline, an email address, people just generally want help. Makosonke, how do they get hold of someone, a living, breathing person behind on the other line of a telephone line?
The only living person and the entry point that we direct people to is the call center. Mm. Yeah, it's the call center that is the entry point. And then, depending on the problem, then they are able to escalate to whichever department. Mm. And thanks to Lester for the attempt to pay and register their employees. And usually, if the account is blocked like Lester, usually they will call the call. The process involves calling the call center, and then the call center unblocking the profile, so that Lester can then be able to proceed with the application process. But I think let's take this offside and see how we can assist him. I know there's quite a lot of them, similar cases that Lester has experienced. So if you've been paying, and just like it happens at the bank, you pay, you stop, the account gets blocked, and the only way you can do is either you go to the branch or you call the call center. So it's a similar situation with us.
Makosonke, I'm sure me, like you, know people and loved ones who have been waiting for this process. The first payment's supposed to be made on the 26th of July, directly into people's bank accounts. I know you can't make promises, but you're hoping to meet target and get things going by the 26th.
Yes, systematically from UIF, we'll be ready to process the payments from the 26th, subject to employers giving us 100 correct bank accounts of the employees. If my employer provides UIF with the correct bank account that matches with the application and that matches with what the details that the bank has, and everything ticks up, we are going to pay. So it's subject to that, but from the UIF side, we will be ready to pay.
Makosonke Buthelezi, Director of Communication at the UIF.